Item five, a request for payment of legal fees in the amount of $9,382 payable to Michael Maestelman, attorney at Maestelman and Associates LLC, for legal representation regarding charges filed against Supervisor Wyshon Jr. on April 20th, 2014.
For the committee's information, I have two cards. One from Daniel Adams, registering against item five, and also had Rebecca Jans from the Ethics Board, who had registered to speak for information only. Ms. Jans is not here. So Supervisor Broderick.
I would move adoption, Mr. Chair.
Okay, motion to adopt the report in item number five. Is there any discussion from committee members? Supervisor Johnson, then Supervisor Jurcik.
Attorney Daniel Adams submitted a card. What was, he's against?
Against. No, he did not want to speak. He said registered but not speaking against.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Jurcik.
Is Ms. Jans going to be present? I mean, does she know that we now have gone into this item?
I just sent her an email. Here she is.
Okay, very good.
She had sent an email yesterday and raised some concerns.
Okay, Ms. Jans, thanks for, I'm glad you ran back up. We're on item five, so you have the floor.
Good morning, Chairman and Supervisors. My name is Rebecca Jans, and I am the Executive Director of the Milwaukee County Ethics Board. And I'm here today just to note a few concerns from our office regarding the county paying legal fees for individuals subject to a hearing before the Ethics Board. First is to note Chapter 9.12, Paragraph 4 of the Ethics Code, and second is to note some policy considerations about how approving such a request could affect hearings in the future. First, Chapter 9.12, Paragraph 4 of the Ethics Code doesn't allow any county entity to authorize the payment of legal fees for, quote, a person subject to a finding in an Ethics Board hearing order, end quote. When our office read this, provision, our reading was that the hearing order is what the Ethics Board issues when it makes a finding of probable cause and holds a hearing. Thus, the county can't pay the legal fees for anyone subject to a hearing regardless of the outcome. Corporation Counsel reads this differently, that the order is what issues if the Ethics Board were to hold a hearing and find a violation. However, our office's reading is what's considered best practices for local government ethics codes, that the government should only pay or reimburse a respondent's legal fees related to an ethics investigation where there is a finding of no probable cause. I want to emphasize that Chapter 9.12, Paragraph 4 is not about culpability or whether a violation of the ethics code occurred. It's merely about who pays the cost for the defense at a hearing. And even if the committee legally can approve a request for the county to pay the legal costs for someone subject to a hearing, but where no violation is found, there are policy reasons for the committee to consider before such an approval. For one, the ethics code is designed to encourage settlement and the resolution of ethics complaints, not drawn-out adversarial proceedings. If a subject knows that his or her legal costs will be covered by the county, there's no incentive to settle a matter prior to hearing. There are many circumstances where the ethics board could make an initial finding of probable cause that is not later sustained at the hearing due to the higher burden of proof. The higher burden of proof increases the likelihood that a complaint will be dismissed, and the subject would have reason to draw out the process with multiple subpoenas, lengthy discovery requests, especially if the county is going to reimburse that individual if he or she is successful. For two, the standards of the ethics code are minimum standards that employees and officials should aim to exceed. We want to encourage county employees and officials to work with the ethics board where there are allegations of ethics issues. We want to encourage them to responsibly, professionally, and openly deal with any appearance of an impropriety to promote the public interest and the public's trust in Milwaukee County government. The ethics code is about institutional integrity, not personal honors, morals, or intent. Rewarding someone for proving he or she just managed to meet the standards in an effort to clear his or her personal reputation, runs counter to the philosophy and the intent of government ethics rules. For three, as noted above, the best practice for local governments is to only pay legal fees where there is a finding of no probable cause. This approach gives some protection to employees and officials where a complaint should have been immediately dismissed but was not, yet still promotes cooperation, maximum compliance with ethics standards, and ultimately the public interest. My purpose today is just to highlight some issues the committee should consider regarding not just the specific request before you today, but also the implications for requests that may come before you in the future and the potential effects on the Ethics Board's proceedings. Thank you for allowing me to come and speak with you today.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bargeron, may I ask your opinion on item number five as to whether or not you believe this is would be proper to pay the fees as requested under item number five?
In general,
Ms. Jans, if you can stick around, people may have questions for you. Thank you.
In general, first of all, aside from the Ethics Board issue, the position of our office is that fees are not required to be paid and that it's optional. We have cases in the past where fees have been paid. We have cases in the past where fees have not been paid. Statute, first of all, again, speaking aside from the Ethics Code, statute allows the county board to pay fees. It's a decision that is left to the policymakers. This is true both in civil matters and in criminal matters. On the particular issue of the Ethics Code, as Ms. Jans just said, I read it differently. I read that the prohibition in the Ethics Code prohibits payment of fees only if the individual is found to have violated the Ethics Code after a hearing and a ruling by the Ethics Board that there's clear and convincing evidence that the Ethics Code was violated. This would be analogous, not quite the same as, but analogous to a finding of guilt or liability in a court setting. I disagree, and Ms. Jans and I have exchanged some emails about the structure of the code and where this provision appears in the code and the use of the word hearing order and some other things. My reading of it is that the prohibition on the county paying fees for someone applies, as I said, only at the end of a process where somebody is found to have violated the code. To say that somebody should not be paid fees should the option, let me start again, that somebody has no right to fees at all based on a probable cause finding is contrary to other, first of all, statutory options that leaves the decision up to the policymakers. Secondly, to say that the policy should be to encourage settlement after a probable cause hearing, I have to say Supervisor Wyshon's case is sort of exhibit A as to why that should not be the case. There was a probable cause finding issued. He went through the hearing and was found not to have violated the code by clear and convincing evidence. If he had been forced to compromise, it's a little bit like saying, well, you know, we found probable cause, now you should admit some guilt or face the prospect of not getting fees. I'm not recommending fees one way or the other. That's your decision. But to say that somebody should compromise to avoid the prospect of never getting paid fees seems to me an unfair position in light of statutory and court rulings that you might get fees if your co-policymakers agree that fees should be available. I don't understand that to be good policy, and it's not a good policy in my view. So my reading of the Ethics Code is that it should not prevent you from awarding fees in this case where there was no finding of a violation of the Ethics Code should you choose to do so, just as the statutes allow you to make a decision to award fees should you choose to do so. Our recommendation throughout the years and recently has been that you not award fees. Typically, county employees and elected officials who have found themselves in these situations have not been reimbursed by the county. They have faced these situations and have paid for them themselves, their defenses themselves. There have been exceptions, and there have been cases where fees have not been paid. And our recommendation has consistently been the Office of Corporation Counsel. Recommendations consistently have been, and in this case is the same, that you not pay fees.
Thank you. Members, any questions or comments or whatever? Supervisor Jurcik.
Could you read the provision, the 12-point...
9.12 sub 4.
Could you read that, please?
It says, no county entity, public official, or employee shall authorize the subrogation of forfeitures, funds, restitution, attorney fee, and costs, or anything of value to assist a person subject to a finding in an ethics board hearing order.
I guess the concern I have, and having received the email from Ms. Jans, is it was almost couched as if giving attorney fees and to vote for that in itself would be an ethical violation.
That's what that provision says, that if someone is subject to a hearing order, that you as county officials are not allowed then to award fees. The question is, what is a hearing order? My view of that is a hearing order is the final determination that a ethics code violation was found after a hearing, which took place with Supervisor Weishan, with witnesses, a hearing officer, the right to cross-examine. That hearing took place. There were witnesses. There was the right to cross-examine. Supervisor Weishan had counsel, which is what he's seeking compensation for. And after that hearing, the result was a finding by the ethics board that there was no violation of the code.
So you're saying that the shall, which is a shall, only refers to those ethics board hearings that result in an actual finding, an order,
yes,
of a violation. And therefore, someone in my position who now has to make a decision on attorney fees is not going to be committing an ethical violation to give fees. Is that a fair statement?
That's my view. That's my interpretation, yes.
Okay, but I do have a little more concern here. As I understand it, you were actually involved in giving advice in the incident itself. So is your opinion on this a fair opinion, given that you were an actor within the original suit that was being brought before the ethics court?
Well, I believe so, yes. Supervisor Weishan approached us with a question about a mailing, and we provided advice. Mr. Grady and I provided advice, actually, in two steps, and so we both were involved. At the time, we didn't know exactly what the mailing was going to constitute, and we certainly had no idea that Supervisor Weishan was planning to run for office later as a candidate for assembly. I think his testimony has been he didn't know that either. But in any event, the advice that we provided was somewhat in the abstract. So that advice was part of the hearing, but how it was interpreted and how it was, how the fact finders, the ethics board, considered that in their deliberations had to be taken in context of all that happened before and after. So they had an email from me and I think one from Mr. Grady, and they put that in the pot, but my advice did not go to the ultimate question of what happened with Mr. Weishan or didn't happen and things like that. So my advice was not to the ultimate question that the ethics board considered.
So you're basically saying you always stayed within the role of court counsel. You were never an advocate for Supervisor Weishon, and therefore, you know, giving advice before as well as after is because you stayed within the goal of Corp Counsel.
And
is that a fair statement?
That's correct, definitely. Mr. O'Grady appeared as a witness. He was called by Mr. Weishon. He testified that, yes, this was the advice that was provided. He was examined by attorneys at the hearing. I did not appear at the hearing as a witness. I actually provided counsel to another witness, which didn't amount to much. But.
Okay, and Ms. Jans is saying because there was a probable cause,
yes, and
we shouldn't be paying attorney fees.
She's reading, and I understand the interpretation. We have a difference of interpretation. I sit with mine, she sits with hers, but she's reading 9.12 sub 4, where it says hearing order as including an order of probable cause, which, for the reasons I've described, I don't think is the right reading.
Your interpretation is because there was no order which followed a clear and convincing standard. Is that the burden of proof?
Right, and followed the evidentiary hearing. Right. The board, 9.12 says that after a hearing, evidentiary hearing, the board has the option of either issuing a hearing order finding a violation or of issuing a notice that there was no violation. And in Supervisor Weishon's case, there was a violation, a notice of no violation.
Mr. Chairman, I have no more questions of the attorneys or Ms. Jans. After others are finished with asking their questions, I do want to make a comment before we vote. Thank you.
Can I explain where my hearing order reading is coming from?
Absolutely.
I don't know if this goes back far enough. I'm looking for. Okay. What I'm looking at is 9.10, which is regarding the preliminary conference. At that point, the standard is probable cause. And if you look at subparagraph. That's not it. Subparagraph 3, subparagraph C, and D are the only places where a hearing order is referenced. When they talk about an order at the end of the hearing, it's only referred to as an order. The only other time the Ethics Code mentions a hearing order is in the pre-hearing process. Therefore, I don't understand how it can be referring to an order at the end of a hearing.
Questions from committee members? Otherwise, we'll go to Supervisor Jurcik for her comment. And then after your comment, perhaps there will be a motion of some kind. So, Supervisor Jurcik.
Well, my understanding of this, and I have talked to Supervisor Weishon, is that he sent out a mailing, and the mailing included individuals outside of Maukee County. I think I'm correct in those facts. He, previous to sending out that mailing, asked Corporation Counsel if this is something he could do as a supervisor with regard to using monies that are in the expense account of supervisors. Can I ask if that's a fair statement so far?
Yes, he definitely asked if he could mail outside the district. I don't recall if the mailing request included mailing outside the county. Do you recall, Mark?
Mr. Chairman, yes. I handled the request initially, and Mr. Bargan unfortunately had to finish it up because it finalized while I was on vacation. But
he has a lot of vacation.
I was off gallivanting. Nice,
so you're on vacation a lot.
All the time.
You're allowed to be.
And I thank the county board for providing liberal vacation policies.
Which don't apply to us, by the way.
The request, yes, was, I guess I should ask, like I did before at the ethics board hearing, whether Supervisor Weishon, this is an attorney-client communication, if he's willing to let me convey the essence of that communication.
That's fine.
Whether he was allowed to mail outside his district on a matter of county business, public interest, mental health board in particular. And I did some investigation and basically told him yes. Now, it is subject to control of the department head who controls your accounts, which is the chairwoman of the board at the time. And so in theory, she could have said no, but I don't think she was inclined to, or even I don't even know if she got involved, to be honest with you. But there would be that theoretical possibility. But subject to that, you know, it is a, we said it was not an illegal or prohibited use of your office account to do a mailing outside of the county, you know, as long as it's obviously on county business, which this was. There was no question asked of me, no even discussion at the time about candidacy for office. That was not part of the discussion because there was no, from my standpoint, no knowledge of that. And so the issue at the Ethics Board, I think, was different than the issue that we were precisely requested to answer, because at that point the issue was essentially, was, did he know he was a candidate at the time he did the mailing, or did he not?
Can I ask what the Ethics Board found on that?
They found no violation. I don't know if they didn't make any specific factual findings, but they found no violation of the Ethics Code.
They found no violation?
Right.
But did they actually make a finding as to whether he had an intent to run for office when he did the mailing? That's what I'm asking, a factual determination.
Well, Ms. Jans probably could answer better than me, but my assumption is if they had found that, they would have found a violation.
Well, here's the way I'm looking at this. I don't know if my colleagues are even interested, but here's how I'm going to vote. Supervisor Wyshon was acting as a county supervisor. It was a county question, that is, the behavioral health and the governance of behavioral health. So it did apply to something that was appropriately before us. Supervisor Weish and I know had some very strong feelings about that. That probably doesn't matter one way or another. But he sought legal advice as to whether he could do the mailing, including out of county. And it was a county issue and also had overlap because it was also a state issue. It was before the state legislature. And that's why he acted. And I would basically say this for any colleague on the board who took those steps, got corp counsel advice before he did the action, and apparently also got the approval of the chairwoman, and then acted on it. And we even have the information that an ethics violation was brought based on, quote, probable cause. But as Mr. Bargren said, you know, this is one of those cases that while on the face you might find probable cause, by the time you get to after the hearing and the burden of proof, it was not met. So based on that, I'm going to vote in favor of Supervisor Wyshon getting paid attorney fees, relying on Mr. Bargren that I'm not committing an ethical violation, and your legal advice. So I'm going to move adoption of the resolution to pay attorney fees. And by the way, I'm going to make the additional statement. This got nothing to do with whether I personally like John Wyshon or not. I'm looking at this strictly from a supervisory point of view, knowing how tough this damn job is and how we have to walk a very tight line. But he was at all times acting within his supervisory role, feeling very passionate about the issue himself. Whether I agreed with him or not is really irrelevant. But I think he did everything he needed to do and is now going to be damaged if he doesn't get these attorney fees paid. So I would do this for any colleague on the board if they followed that fact pattern. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so there's a motion to approve the request for payment of legal fees under item number 5. Would the clerk please call the roll?
On the motion that item number 5 be recommended for adoption, Supervisors Jurczyk?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Wyshon?
Abstain.
Broderick?
Aye.
Rainey?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
No.
4 ayes, 1 no, 1 abstention, the motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman?
Supervisor Broderick.
Could I just make a comment following the vote? If anything else can be done to discourage public service on the part of those of average income, voting the other way on this would have managed that nicely, I think. Given the fact, if this had happened next year, supervisors are going to be making $24,000, $25,000 a year. This would be a substantial percentage of whatever they make. I don't know if they're also going to be, I won't be here, but I'm wondering if they're expected to wear suits and ties to meetings, given no clothing allowance. I mean, you know, all of this goes to serve wealthy candidates who can afford to make mistakes and pay for them. You know, and just when I view it through that lens, the absurdity of the action on the part of the state legislature becomes more and more clear with the passage of time and these kinds of incidents arising.
I would just say, Mr. Supervisor, I've never worn a tie here.
Supervisor well, Johnson.
For those of us who do. But clothing allowance is, you know, I mean, you're expected to present yourself in a way that well represents the community.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would ask, is it Administrator or Director Jantz?
I'm technically the PRB / Ethics Board Administrator. I serve as the Executive Director of the Ethics Board.
Director Jantz, would you send, you made reference to best practices, a statement of best practices related to Ethics Council, or could you send that to me?
Yes. Do you want best practices related to legal fees specifically or more generally?
Whatever you have.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's not so thick that.
Yeah, you're going to get a Bible.
Well, actually, I mean, the handbook, the main reference is about 1,000 some pages long.
Okay, well, then legal fees.
Okay.
Legal fees, and is there a summary?
Yes, I can send you the summary.
Yeah, summary. Of the handbook.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Would the clerk please read item number 6?